All right.
Okay, I'd like to call together the regular meeting of the South Kingston Conservation Commission on Wednesday, March the 1st, 2017, at 6:30 p.m. in the second floor conference room, Town Hall. Next order of business is roll call. Lorraine Dubert?
Here.
David Flanders?
Yep.
Mary Talbot Rabiano?
Here.
Let the record show that I am Dorian Boardman Chair, and that Jennifer James, Secretary, is absent, and Christopher O'Connor is also absent at this time. And Douglas McLean is here as the senior planner. Our next order of business is approval of the minutes of the February 1st, 2017 meeting. Do I hear a motion?
I move we accept the minutes as written.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Hold the chair.
Can I have a...
Yeah, please.
Can I join you?
Yes, please do. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the minutes as written, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. On the agenda next is the advisory review of the combined conceptual master plan and preliminary plan, major land development project, South County Post and Beam. It's a proposed four-building commercial development, AP22-4, lots 10 and 76, located at 305 Liberty Lane, South County Post and Beam, is the own applicant and Fox Realty owner.
For the record, I'm John Kenya. I'm attorney for the applicant. Ken Bovier is here. He's the president of South County Post and Beam. And the property is located at 305 Liberty Lane, and it's a little confusing, but it's two lots. Lot 76 is 1.72 acres. And South County Post and Beam presently owns that. Lot 10 is 5.7 acres, and they have an option to purchase that property. There's a cell tower on that lot. The plan is to, if this is approved, to eventually change the lot lines. So they have the right to purchase a portion of Lot 10. So all four buildings would be on the same lot. Essentially, the cell tower would be on one lot, the four buildings would be on the other lot. It's zoned industrial. They're proposing one primary building with three accessory structures, which would be used for storage. There's a proposed drainage facility, which they received RIPD's approval from, I believe, just the day we were at TRC, I think, or right before that. And it'll be serviced by two OWTSs. I believe they think they'll be sized for about the same as a three-bedroom single-family house. The property used to be, or the property was previously a
Nursery.
And so there's a lot of vegetation on there. They want to reuse a lot of the vegetation. We had discussed at TRC having Dave come out and looking at what stock would be best to be moved, what could survive, if we could use some of it for buffers. More than the 20% that's required under the zoning ordinance under Section 602 will remain vegetated. I think they're going to meet all the other requirements under that section. Ken, if you want to explain farther down what a protection overlay district is, there's prohibitions on the type of use there. They don't want certain type of manufacturing, things that have hazardous substances. Can you explain what you guys are going to do there?
Well, we're really moving our operation, which is currently on the other side of the tracks at Liberty Lane. We've been there for 30 years. It's in the same zoning as over the groundwater protection district. Exactly the same operation moving to this one. And it is, our primary business is manufacturing heavy timbers, which we have state-of-the-art equipment that does all the, takes timbers and joins them together to make structures out of them. So it's the operation is a very clean operation that we don't use chemicals, we don't use paints. It's really manufacturing. It's just very, there's a lot of volume to it, a lot of tractor trailers, and there's a lot of movement of materials, a lot of storage of materials. So it's really the core of the business. Of course, there's the offices that are involved in it.
In the primary building, you're going to have offices, and then do you actually do the assembling in that building?
We do the manufacturing in that building, and some of the assembly is in some of the accessory buildings.
So what kind of waste do you generate?
Sawdust, which we bag, and it goes to the farmers. And then we a lot of cutoffs of timber, which we have a large boiler, which we heat our buildings with. We get about 80% of our building heated with them.
Okay. What kind of wood mostly? Does it vary?
It's 75% Douglas fir, 25% oak and pine. It's not dry when we get it, but it gets dry before we heat it, before we use it.
Yeah.
So the septic system is just for the sanitary waste?
Pardon me?
The septic system is just for sanitary waste from the employees?
That's all we do is just the employees, and very light use. I mean, if you could compare it to the use of a nursery, we use a fraction of the water. I mean, very small. You know, kind of water that nurseries use. You know, we use very, very little water.
It's just like for personal consumption, not for processing or anything.
Yep. Yeah. No, there's no processing. That requires water.
Do you have an advanced treatment system proposed?
No.
Conventional?
Conventional system.
What's the gallons per day? Just equivalent to a three-bedroom?
I think Dave, Debris Engineering, mentioned about the size of a three-bedroom system.
345 gallons per day?
Yeah.
Which is actually, I think, and I'm not the engineer on this, but I think there are 400 gallons a day per bedroom is typical, so we're...
Well, I think, isn't it 150?
Well, it'd be based on employees.
Yeah.
Right, number of employees. Yeah.
So it's 23 employees, so based on that, they need 15 gallons per day per employee. Mm-hmm.
Was there any discussion of using an alternative system?
No, we haven't.
So you don't use any strong cleaning solutions of any type?
No. We have some of the timbers are oiled, and we use a product made by BioShield, which is a biodegradable product. Most of our customers are very sensitive to, we contribute to making healthy houses.
Right.
So that's the product that we use. And there's an end sealer, which is also a wax. So everything we use is with that in mind. You know, it's all with making healthy houses, which we use environmentally friendly products.
Mm-hmm. So you're not really dealing with other types of materials that you might use in post and beam, just the wood? In the past they've used different types of panels and things.
We have a panel that we enclose some of our buildings with, which we don't manufacture. We purchase from Vermont. There's a couple different suppliers that we don't manufacture those, but that's we enclose our buildings with those.
So would you be cutting those and generating waste from those panels?
Well, actually, we do have one in operation right now in our current facility where we do that. That's actually a good point. We do. So that does create waste. It creates the panel waste, which is a foam and sheathing, which is loaded and disposed of off-site.
So that's like a chemical foam?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's contained separately and disposed of separately?
Completely. It's a completely separate operation, but it has to be contained, and everything is disposed of, bagged, and taken off site.
Is that considered a hazardous waste?
No.
No. Okay. Do you have any under drains or anything like that? Drains that would collect any? No. Okay.
There's no floor drains.
Yeah.
Not planning to do those. Those are. They're frowned on.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, because next thing you know, the wrong thing goes into them.
Right.
So,
okay.
If not by us, by somebody in the future that has the building.
Right. One concern is a lot of trucks coming in and out with diesel fluid leaks, that kind of thing. What are you proposing to deal with that?
It's the first that's been brought up.
Really?
So I don't...
Do you have a loading dock?
No.
You must. No, no loading dock?
It's flat land.
Okay.
There's no loading dock, and I've not had, we've been operating for 30 years, I have not had an issue with that. I look around my yard now, I don't have diesel stains or oil. I'm sure it could happen, trucks coming out.
I'm just thinking with the larger operation, more trucks coming in and out, and it's my understanding that when you have a facility with a lot of trucks coming in and out, the loading dock area would have... like an oil water separator in case there's any kind of spills there.
Mm-hmm.
But DEM hasn't said anything about that?
Nothing's been said about it. There is no collection point. It's flat, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it grades slightly into the retention areas and swales,
right.
But it's not like a loading dock which goes into a puddle at the bottom of it.
Right.
We don't have the land as a shape to accommodate that.
Yeah.
So we don't have any of that. If there's a suggestion or a best practices for that, I'm certainly open to discussion about it. But it's the first time it's been brought up, and I'm not familiar with what that would be.
Well, I know if there's a risk, if they feel that there's a risk of spills from the trucks, maybe it's a double issue of spills, like hydraulic fluid from the trucks itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not really... like loading and unloading hazardous materials, then you wouldn't have a larger spill.
Right.
So maybe if it's just an issue of the hydraulic spills, hydraulic leaks, you could have a spill kit, and employees
mm-hmm.
could be trained to clean up the spill and kind of, you know, how to do it if
sure.
there is a leak. I mean, I would think that would be sufficient.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe Dupree Engineering could make recommendations on locating the spill kit and training staff and using that.
Okay.
The other issue is how much area you're going to be disturbing and the increase in impervious cover. So the area of disturbance is an issue in terms of reducing vegetation, but then also adding impervious cover.
I think if you look at this map, it will tell you how much that is.
Okay. I was looking for my glasses earlier, and I didn't see them. What number is it? Is it 1.5?
That's it.
I think there's a limitation on impervious cover in the groundwater area. Isn't it 25%?
I'd have to check the zoning to see what the number is for our GPOD.
I'm pretty sure that's what was required for when APC came in a long time ago, that it was 25% maximum.
When APC came in, they changed it to 80%.
Yeah, it looks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this looks well enlarged.
Right. Well, when they came in. Well, maybe when they enlarged. At some point in time with APC,
yeah.
when they put sewers in and
yeah.
all that, because we were there at that time, and that's when
yeah.
it was
lower.
So it's
80%
now?
I don't know what the number is. I know that this actually was reviewed for compliance with the zoning, and it met.
Yeah.
So that if there was that kind of restriction in the GPOD, we certainly would have caught that and
mm-hmm.
had discussions with them otherwise. I mean, the current percentage is, you know, obviously well beyond 25% just from a
right.
a look at the map.
Right.
It looks like it. The requirement is at least 20% of the area of each lot shall be covered with existing or traditional vegetation. And according to Dave's comments, 4.8 or 64% of the property will be vegetated areas, including landscaping and grass areas.
But 20%, so the other balance of the 4.8 to make up the 20 is existing vegetation that's not disturbed?
The total site area is 7.48. So after development, this says 64% will remain or be vegetated. So to me, that says that 36% are going to be disturbed.
And 20% is required, and that can be existing or new vegetation.
John, I misunderstood. I thought that Dave was going to talk to me when planting was going on, rather than actually doing the assessment of the existing stock. I would recommend somebody who's much more familiar with commercial nurseries, such as Rich Clark would be a perfect one to ask.
Okay.
I think he'd be able to do it. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I mean, he certainly knows a lot more about that than I do.
Sure. And the other thing to remember with these percentages, that these lots are going to change. So right now, the smaller lot, obviously, most of that lot on this plan is going to be building or parking area. But after the subdivision, then...
Right, it's going to be much higher impervious, much lower vegetation.
Well, no, actually, because we're actually including a lot of the... They'll now own all this. That'll all be a part of the property.
I thought there was a discussion of purchasing a portion of the neighboring lot. But you'll be acquiring the whole thing?
They'll be acquiring most of it except for the cell tower area.
Oh, this is the cell tower area.
Yeah, so it's...
So this is the other lot. And this is the cell tower area.
I thought he had put on here where the new lots were going
to
be.
I didn't see one. But is it essentially, is he going to X out and leave some frontage to that cell tower area?
Yeah.
Yep. Is that it? Let's see. Assessor line, yep.
Yeah, I'm still not seeing the lot lines.
Page 4. Are you looking at page 4?
Right, well, that's the cell tower site, but the new, so they're going to move this lot line, and
wasn't
then...
Wasn't this lot line that runs along the back at the edge of where it states lot 10, isn't that the delineation?
Why is she saying this?
That looks like the limits of the
disturbance. Yeah, that looks like limits of disturbance.
Right. Yeah, so that...
I think it's all over here, right?
That
well,
silt fence...
This part out.
It looks like silt fence and limits of disturbance.
So.
It's not this?
No, that's the where the fencing is around the cell tower, and then there's a 180-foot fall zone, which will remain on that property.
All around it, so it could fall into the basin?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not.
The requirements on it, I think, were no structures or parking or something like that, right? But you allowed for the driveway and drainage. Yeah.
It's actually the only requirements are no buildings and no lot lines. But you could do parking and drainage.
Mm-hmm.
You could do plantings.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't see where there were calculations on the stormwater runoff. Do you know if you're infiltrating just the DEM minimum standards or more? So the issue is groundwater recharge.
Did you get this letter from Dave?
Yeah, but that doesn't really tell us how much of it's being infiltrated. It says it's meeting.
In our packet.
It wasn't.
He's talking about the DEM standard of groundwater recharge required approximately 0.07, and I don't know exactly what that means. The recharge in the site is proposing 0.22. I wish I could explain it to you, but I'm not the engineer.
Inches. Usually, if this is a Hydro Group B soil, it would be...
This is what's required.
Okay.
This is what he's engineered for, too.
Are your trucks still going to enter in the receiving area where it's just before the bike path? Is that going to maintain, that going to be your traffic pattern for deliveries?
Deliveries will be out going east on Liberty Lane. either up Watson Street or out to 138 straight out.
Right, but as they enter your facility, are they going to go in where it's receiving now, just before the bike path there?
No, they're not. Are you confusing them with Liberty Cedar? Are they
over by the quite possibly, I am, yes.
Yeah, we're Liberty Cedar entrance. We're before that by nine, 800 or 900 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be an additional entrance.
So I think one thing that Dupree probably has to do is the calculations he gave on the area vegetated that's going to remain vegetated is for the entire lot. I think he needs to show per lot. So
or the future condition for this one lot.
Right. So you have the cell tower lot's not going to change at all.
Right.
But it seems like in his calculations he was including that lot, so he needs to... just determine that.
Is the infiltration basin allowed to be included in the vegetation area?
In the vegetation area?
Hmm.
I don't believe so.
There's plenty of plantings in it.
There are, but I don't know if that's... I guess you would... The definition in zoning was introduced vegetation. 20% shall be reserved for... existing or introduced vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, 20% in what he's saying is that you guys, if you looked at the whole lot, you were at, 63. So you need to, you're at 63, we're being preserved, and you need to hit 20. So there's a lot of buffer, you know, there's a lot of room in there. But
yeah, if we have to get rid of the area with the drainage and then whatever's being left for the cell tower, there should still be enough, but I think we just need to show that we meet it.
Show the calculation based on the new lot line.
The lot line's on there somewhere, but I just can't figure it out tonight. Dave seems to be able to find it whenever he's here.
Yeah, the 20% requirement has been discussed from the beginning with our engineers. So we need to demonstrate it to you more clearly, but it will be met.
When will you start building?
That's the magic question, isn't it? Possibly this summer.
Not in the wintertime, but no. Get it done during the ground season.
Well, the ground work, anyway, get the ground stabilized.
Yeah. And it'd be completed, would the construction be complete before November?
I really can't say. It really depends on when we start. We'll definitely be phasing it in. We'll do the front two buildings first,
mm-hmm.
and then the last two buildings some point down the road, so from two to 4 years.
So you'll only be disturbing, this is the phasing plan, right? You'll just be disturbing this area first. That's the first phase, and then this is the second phase?
That's the second phase in the back, yes.
Yep.
But the basin will be constructed.
We have to do
the
drainage for everything.
The complete drainage.
Okay. All right. I guess my main concern is the septic system. It seems like it would be not a huge investment to make it an alternative system, and if it would help treat waste if there was ever anything that accidentally got into there, or it would keep nitrogen levels lower. So that would be, I mean, it's a one easy thing that can be done, and it's not that onerous. It is right in the groundwater reservoir, which is the main portion of the groundwater. You know, the deepest, most productive part of the groundwater aquifer.
I guess I would expect that it would be required if if it was necessary.
Well, DEM establishes minimum standards, and they've been focusing on phasing out cesspools. Hmm. And many towns have more stringent standards than DEM. Jamestown, North Kingstown in particular, to protect their groundwater, South Kingstown, Block Island, several others. So I feel it's an easy thing to do that would add an additional layer of protection, particularly since this is the deepest and most productive section of the entire aquifer. It's considered the reservoir with deepest sand and gravel. And I just think it would provide a small, you know, an additional layer of protection given, and will kind of help offset, you know, the increase in impervious area in terms of water quality. Because otherwise, all the rainwater that's falling there now is being filtered and treated very well by the existing vegetation. And the BMPs that are being used only treat a fraction of the waste generated. Even just rainfall on the roof is high in nitrogen from acid rain. So at that, having an advanced treatment system would at least compensate for the increased nitrogen from runoff. The BMPs only treat 30% of the nitrogen from the runoff.
That sounds sound.
In terms of the trees, is the goal to move or plant trees in front for the roadway or street trees?
No, it's primarily to buffer against the adjoining lot.
Oh, which lot?
To the right, if as you're looking at the maps.
Oh, the homeowner's lots.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Carrie, actually, over here, Carrie's
okay.
house is all here. Right. Are there two houses on there, Carrie?
No, just one and two sheds.
So this is, who's over
that's
here?
That's Liberty Cedar.
Yeah, that's Liberty Cedar, so
okay.
That's another
all right,
business.
So it's for the houses.
Yeah.
What about in front? Are you planning anything in front?
There is a preliminary plan.
Yeah, the last two pages.
Oh, okay.
There's some vegetation here in front of the parking for the town regulations.
Yeah.
And this is mostly going to be open lawn with some of the existing vegetation left.
Yeah.
I'd like to clean it up and make a lawn and put the whatever substantial trees are there, we keep those.
Yeah. They have a turf grass now that doesn't require fertilizer. That's actually made here in Rhode Island, grown here. And so it has clover and grass, and the clover fixes nitrogen from the air.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice thing to use there because, you know, you wouldn't need to add fertilizer or maybe any of the other parts of the place that has lawn.
Yeah.
And that would reduce the amount getting into the groundwater from fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could market that as a green-friendly business practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to learn about that because fertilizer is always an issue.
Yeah.
I know I have organic lawns at my house, and they may be organic, but they're not very attractive.
Well, one of the problems is sometimes when construction goes on, there's a lot of compaction,
right,
and it's hard to get the soil back into a state that can support plants. So in the Soil Erosion Sediment Control Handbook, there's a standard for restoring the soils by decompacting it, and then making sure that you have adequate depth and quality of soil, and you have to test for organic matter and make sure that it has enough organic matter, and then add compost. So I would recommend applying that standard, so amending the Soil Erosion Sediment Control Plan to use the topsoiling standard. It's a soil restoration and topsoiling standard. And then that would ensure that the lawns and other planted areas, not the infiltration area, but the others, the regular areas, support plants. And then use low-input grasses, which need less fertilizer and water, like fescues, but in particular the sod that is produced here with clover in it. And I'll send you the link to that clover.
Okay.
As we looked at when they did the testing on the ground, they were the soils evaluator was very impressed with it. We have topsoil that runs from 6 inches to a foot.
Yeah.
He said the subsoils were, and I don't know any of the terminology, but he was looking at it and said, these are the subsoils that you die for.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a certain, the subsoil, and he explained, when the moisture gets into it, it hits the subsoil, it'll saturate it.
Yeah.
And it'll, but it won't, but it's not impervious.
Right.
So you get a little too much water, and water drops out of the bottom of it.
Yeah,
and
so
he
it
says
holds
that's,
the moisture.
Yeah,
instead.
That's exactly what I said. What we were actually planning on doing was separating the subsoils. Getting whatever we were disturbed, we're going to put the subsoils down and then put the topsoils back on top of it. Recreate what was there because we have the ideal situation.
Yeah, that's perfect farming soil. I think that's the Bridgehampton soil.
That's a very method case I heard him say.
So, Doug, are we charged with
Providing a motion that would be an advisory opinion to the planning board.
Planning board?
I'll make a motion. I recommend changes to the plan to include changing the soil erosion sediment control plan to specifically apply the standard for topsoiling and soil decompaction for areas that were disturbed, and ensuring adequate depth and quality of soil and meeting the organic matter standard of that topsoiling standard, and also using low-input grasses such as fescues or particularly the sod that's available now that has clover and does not require fertilizer, using those in the areas that are going to be landscaped with lawn. All areas that are going to be landscaped and vegetated would have the soil topsoiling standard applied, except for the infiltration basin, because that has separate requirements. I'd also recommend use of an advanced treatment system to offset the increase in nitrogen from runoff, since this is a highly valuable area of the watershed, of the groundwater, groundwater aquifer, which is the reservoir and has the deepest amount of water storage. And the increased impervious area is going to contribute nitrogen, and the advanced treatment system will help offset that increase. We want to also make sure that the vegetation, percent vegetation of the new lot formed meets at least the 20%. And if so, I would recommend approval with these revisions, with these changes to the plan. Does anyone else have any other suggestions?
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as read signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to stop over and visit you one day and talk to you about the adjoining property or fences and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll stop and see you around the office.
Oh.
Just come back in the next couple of days, okay?
I'm off tomorrow. I'll be there Friday for be around the house,
whatever. Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. All right, we have Conservation Commission objectives for 2017.
So I'm carrying this over from the last week to also assist with the discussion of a couple updates on items that we discussed. One is that I have reached out to South Kingstown School District middle school science teachers and high school science teachers to ask about distribution of the poster that we've seen before, the basic do's and don'ts about tree care and tree planting. And actually the high school responded back with three of the teachers saying they would love a copy of that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to reach back out to them, make sure they have a copy, and then I'm going to ask them if they want any additional input or, you know, comments on it, that, you know, if they're interested in setting up any lessons about it, you know, they can come to us for information. I'm sure David would be happy to serve as a liaison if they were looking for that.
Thanks, David.
Yep. And then between the last meeting and this meeting, David has done some review of the elementary schools. As you guys recall, we are thinking about for a use of commission funds, planting a tree on Arbor Day at one of the elementary schools. And so just on, you know, existing conditions and where there's a good spot, we identified Wakefield Elementary as being, you know, a good location for some new trees. And so David and I were walking the site earlier tonight and, you know, have a few spots that we're thinking of. So this is Wakefield L school here. And we're looking at that area for a new tree. And this would be, you know, in association with the school, asking them if they'd like to participate and make this more of an event, bring out the kids. You know, we could build on it as an educational event, you know, the history of Arbor Day. I reached out to the principal. She was very excited about the idea. So I think it's a matter of, between now and the next meeting, fine-tuning where the exact spot would be and making sure that, you know, we're clear from dig safe, from utility easements, from all those other pieces, and then working with the principal to, you know, kind of build on it as an educational event. So it would be a tree planting sponsored by the Conservation Commission to occur on Arbor Day, April
28th. Yep. Last Friday.
And David said they actually had a lot of success with this on a previous planting, where they had a good chunk of the school out to see it. So,
do you have the blurb?
I didn't print it out. I did not print out the blurb, but it was David wrote a nice little blurb that could be read, and it was about the history of Arbor Day.
Nice.
And
The first Arbor Day, a million trees were planted in Nebraska.
Yeah. It was an interesting history that you kind of didn't see it coming, but I thought it read well and it ended nicely with a nice quote.
I'll send it electronically.
Yeah,
guys.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was well read. Do you have any other things to add on the Wakefield tree?
No, we didn't find a faucet, which is unfortunate. Doesn't mean it isn't there, but I've got 150 feet of hose. For regular watering, I can use the buckets, but I was just thinking if there is a faucet, it would be better to do that. But.
Okay.
Can the kids water it?
Hmm?
Why can't the kids water it?
We talked about that.
When?
After it's planted.
I don't trust them.
No.
Crazy. that comes a vacation.
Yeah, summertime is when it needs
well,
watering,
yeah,
and
so
they're not there.
We
vacation could be
yeah. I mentioned it to the...
Don't kids have to go to summer school if they don't pass the grade?
Yeah, and then they have to water the tree.
And, you know, once they start carrying water, they're going to say, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
that's
yeah.
The last,
I know,
that's
they're
going to
have
school.
The teachers cracking the whip over them.
Yeah.
They can in shop. They can make these yokes that can hold the.
That's what
yeah,
I
yeah,
thought.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, you could cut a branch off the tree to work as a switch if you need to.
Faster.
Yeah. So
he's going to be talking with Josh to see before we get DigSafe out, because we saw a gas line and some drainage line, and it would be a drag to call out DigSafe. They say, no. So we move the stake. No. Move it again. Call the guy out 6 times. So maybe we can clear that up with the in-town engineer. And,
yeah.
So I think really, you know, one of the objectives was to do an Arbor Day celebration. So what would be helpful at this meeting is to have a motion of the group to move forward with use of the commission funds to purchase a single tree. You know, I think we'll find that the pricing has been consistent with what we found, so we will seek quotes, but we'll go with the cheapest, and generally we found that Morningstar offers good quality stock for a good cheap price. So we'll you know, that will give us what we need to kind of basically move forward with it and put the logistics together in time for the planting. So I don't know if anyone has any questions or other thoughts or concerns on it.
Do you think it, I know this is expanding the scope, and I'm totally fine with what you're proposing, but is there any possibility that this would be situated where it accepts drainage from the school building or parking lots?
It looks like it's pretty well targeted to specific places. I mean, they've piped it so that it's and the runoff itself is well, it goes mostly into the parking lot on the front side where there's a drain and takes it to the Saugatucket or I don't know where.
Are you thinking about a tree filter box?
Well, those are expensive, but I'm thinking even if you could disconnect the rooftop runoff or disconnect one of those drains and divert it into just make a small, put the tree in a small depression like a rain garden, then it would be reducing the amount that gets to the Saugatucket and be filtering.
Yeah.
But it's more, definitely a more complicated project.
Yeah, the area that we're in doesn't, it wouldn't work for that. David and I walked around the school. There's maybe a few other areas where you could consider that, but the only...
It all slopes down. It slopes down to the main Saugatucket Park, and then on the other side, it slopes down to their playground area.
And so when David mentioned that, he was part of a tree planting of a tree that is out there that is at the bottom of the slope. There's a little hill between the school and the park, and the trees really struggled, and I think the assumption is that it's just, you know, it's out there in the middle of the playground.
I mean, they use that as a soccer field, too.
So, while it's not a bad idea, I don't know if the specific sites that we were identifying that might be out of the way and good for the health of the tree don't line up with, the drainage.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you need a motion?
I could use a motion that, directs the staff to move forward with using commission funds to implement the tree planting as we described.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to direct planning to move along the project using the conservation funds as described. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you for working on this.
Sure.
Yeah, David did. He checked out a handful of the schools, right?
I checked them all. There's also one possible place at West Kingston, but I thought this would be more visible and all.
Yeah.
And the other one we did in the late 90s, where all those kids came out, we also had a lot of press. We had the Pro Joe when they had an office in town.
Yeah.
And then the other two papers, and it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Good. I ran into Brian Smith at the YMCA about the Saugatucket project.
Okay.
He said that he'd reached out to you. He's on the EDC, and he reached out to you. He was looking for the Conservation Commission to be an advisory to helping actually implement the plan. Is that too soon to talk about?
No, it's not too soon to talk about. Was he talking about having the CONCOM also looking out for grant funds?
No.
No? He didn't say grant funds?
He didn't say grant funds. He just said advisory to the project.
Sure. Yeah, so I think everyone here is a little familiar with the Saugatucket River project, the URI studio project.
Where they had the charrette. Yes.
They had the charrette. Yeah. And so where we stand with that project right now, that the EDC helped with funding that project. They used a little bit of money they had from a previous event. Some of the individuals on the commission privately funded the event, and then there was a mix of town funds in there too. So they, you know, feel quite a bit of connection and ownership to the project and the outcomes. The project, you know, certainly has a lot of, ecological and environmental principles that were associated with the designs. These are student designs, so these weren't engineered solutions. These were conceptual plans.
And the best way different plans that weren't integrated as well.
Yeah, and so there was it was four different plans. I think the best way to describe what students do as part of these are conversation starters, but they're integrating in like professional level ideas, but they're not necessarily executed and designed to, you know, actually fit. So they're, you know, they're introducing concepts to a space, mm-hmm. and really it kind of, you know, gets the the community talking about what concepts they really were impressed by, and then how would they take the next step to implement the concepts. Mm-hmm. But some of the stuff is actually pretty like lower hanging fruit that the EDC was impressed with some of their, you know, the main street focus, so signage, like welcome signage and like more identifying features to Wakefield. But some of the stuff that a lot of folks were also liking was very simple removal of invasive species along the shoreline and clearing of some areas to create better views, specifically from the Saugatucket Park side. So, you know, actually this Wakefield Elementary picture shows it pretty well. So here's north, and what a big focus is that along this area, you know, really considering creating some viewpoints by doing some, you know, some specific sitting areas and viewing areas. I think there is enough there to say that the Conservation Commission could have a role in, you know, what the next steps are and you know, how that might move forward. Right now, we're actually, URI is drafting the final report. So the studio process concluded as part of the fall semester. They gave us a presentation in December. They're taking the spring semester to put together a report that really provides a whole narrative discussion on, you know, what they did, and we're, you know, essentially that gives us a product that we can really take and then maybe use to consider next steps and consider, you know, what grant applications we might want to apply for. The EDC, I think, is going to continually look for grant opportunities, but that's always, like, depending on what the grant's looking for, you cherry-pick the concepts.
The EDC is looking for grants?
Yeah.
They just gave $4.8 million for more PR on
tourism. No, the South Kingstown EDC.
Oh.
A different level.
Yeah.
So that South Kingstown EDC is looking for, like, you know, state grants, recreation grants, Main Street grants.
There's a Healthy Communities grant request.
Yeah, the EPA one. Yeah, I saw that. And that, you know, that's a good example. Like, you know, you kind of have to look at it, and then I think the EDC will be the main engine that will, you know, consider, okay, we like that grant program. Brian Smith himself actually said he likes writing grants. I don't know if he used the word like, but he's good at it. He's done it, and he's happy to do that, and he's happy to, you know, assist with putting the town in a position where maybe they can seek funds for that project. I don't think there's no issues in my mind with involvement from the CONCOM as well, but I think it will kind of come down to when we have a specific grant that we received money back for and we have a project in hand, that's when, you know, maybe we can talk about the specifics of implementation.
Well, isn't part of the concept to do stormwater improvements?
Yeah, that was in there as well. The stormwater improvements, like end of pipe solutions. So there are considerations for that too.
You also mentioned dredging.
Yep.
Dredging the river?
Yeah, I mean, there's some of the ideas
spots
are
hot spots for chemicals that, you know, from past industry dumping.
Yeah.
And also addressing the huge lily pad problem.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, there were a lot of concepts that came out of the student work, but I wouldn't say that all of them, you know, went through the full vetting process of knowing that, you know, like, okay, here's where, here's the full results of what dredging would be. But, I mean, they played with the concepts of improving water quality via end-of-pipe solutions, and pretreatment, you know, of, you know, the stormwater inputs. They did look at the flow of the river itself and, you know, what they can do in terms of, you know, there's really only one narrow channel where there's actual depth and flow. Mm-hmm. So they kind of thought about, are there solutions otherwise? But I mean, they're not, you know, hydrologists, so they're, you know, at some of it was more conceptual level. So I think we're curious to see, you know, kind of a fine tuning of the product. And then, you know, we wanted to move forward. I think this is the sort of thing where they gave us really big ideas. Some of it was like major redesign stuff. Some of it is like new pedestrian walkways that are, you know, go all the way up the river, you know, several properties up. And some of what they proposing and some of what the community is interested in is very simple, like, you know, low hanging fruit where they can see a little positive momentum and energy to turning their attention to it and making simple improvements like simple vegetative maintenance and management practices along the water's edge. Right. So I think between that, you know, we might want to, there might be some work that we take on that could be immediate, and some of that might not need a grant, and then there might be some work where you do need to find some outside funds. Mm-hmm. So I would describe the CONCOM's involvement as, you know, as much as you want to be. I think the EDC is really kind of, I guess, the primary advisory group to what we're doing. I think that after we get the report, they're going to develop a series of recommendations for implementation that they'll bring to the council. And then maybe that's a point where the, you know, if there's something that's not a grant, that's not a huge, you know, construction project, maybe the CONCOM can, you know, see how it can get involved in that. And then if it's a grant, then I think we wait and see where we have success before we, you know, put too many people, you know, trying to figure something out before we know if we can actually do it. And I mean, it's a great project, actually. I think a lot of outcomes, and we had involvement from CONCOM members who are involved in the process. Historic District Commission members are involved in the process. They're very focused on Wakefield right now from a historic perspective. So it seems like it's there's a focus on this area and a lot of parallel planning efforts right now.
Okay. And now correspondence?
None from me.
Okay. I have an announcement. I will be resigning from the commission.
Really?
Yes.
We're going to miss you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I had to think long and hard about it, but actually, in the meantime, my in-laws have gotten very sick, and so my husband's been spending a lot of time in the hospital and in the rehab center, so I need to take care of home.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Your priorities in order. I'm so sorry to hear about your in-laws.
Thank you.
Are they in Rhode Island?
My mother-in-law was moved from Rhode Island to New Bedford for a rehab center. And then my father-in-law is still in the rehab center. They both got sick at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was sad, so.
Oh, I'm really sorry.
Sorry.
Thank you.
That's rough.
Thank you for the many years of service.
Yeah,
we were,
yeah,
Doria had given me a letter coming into this. Doria, has it been like 14 years? Is
14
that,
years.
That's the length of time you've been on the commission. That's a long time. So thank you for all the years of service.
You're welcome.
Is this your last meeting?
This is my last meeting.
Oh, we did not prepare to have a little celebration.
Oh.
Thank you.
I appreciate the thought. Thank you.
Well, we're going to miss you.
It means David present.
You can always come back.
That's true.
That's right.
Things even out.
Yeah. But thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. So, if there's no other correspondence, we can adjourn.
That's it.
Okay.
On a nice low note, thank you very much.
We're down on numbers now.
Well, Ann Heffron, did you get the my neighbor? She's really good.
Did she apply?
She applied. She's waiting for council
to set up the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes several months.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll be a little low, but that's all right. We've got enough to get us through.
Good.
So one quick question. I haven't commented yet on the comp plan stuff.
Yep.
And I think it's too late based on the website. Is it
not too late? No. I think that's a good point, and I didn't bring it up. I gave the folks here an update at the last meeting, but first off, I think we kind of encouraged folks to engage in the process by, you know, coming to the events, and because a lot of the events we had were designed to be very interactive, so you really wouldn't get the same level of information in front of you,
right.
And, you know, prompted by the specific questions we had. And I think there was some engagement from commission.
No, I thought it was a nice way of doing it.
Yeah. So we've got a good chunk of information that we are sifting through. The planning board is the primary advisory board behind the comp plan. Yesterday, they started to actually review and absorb some of the feedback. And I think our goal was to still bring to the commission at one of its meetings an opportunity to provide more targeted input. But I think what we were looking for is, out of all the information we have, where are there really maybe still unaddressed questions or areas where we really need some targeted feedback that might be specific to environmental concerns? This is a targeted, you know, update to just energy and natural hazards and climate change. But that doesn't mean that we can't take all, you know, input on all levels. So I think that, you know, commission members can feel free if you guys have something that you wanted to provide to us, you know, that may not be, you know, we may not be expecting, you can feel free to provide that to us. And, you know, we can be thinking about that and working that in. I know David had brought, you know, you had sent some information about trees several months ago.
Well, I also brought that up last night. I was at the work session, and Maria, you know, seeing I was there, called on me to talk about that. And you, I would say keep your eyes peeled for the work sessions. Last night was just the first one.
Yeah. On the plan?
On the plan update.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all they're doing. And Maria will see that you're there, and, you know.
Well, I was thinking of sending written comments to start. And then maybe if there's a night where they're discussing the kinds of issues I'm interested in, then I would go.
Make contact with Maria and tell her that, and then she'll give you the heads up.
Yeah.
So are they working on the stormwater ordinance updates at the same time, or did they drop that in favor of the comp plan?
They're looking at our subdivision regulations as a whole. That's something else that the group is doing in the course of its work session. I've asked them when they come to information on drainage that the commission be involved and, you know, have an opportunity to provide advisory comments on the drainage information.
Well, also all the low-impact development design stuff.
Yeah. So for subdivision, there is a process that they're taking on right now. The way they're going about it is kind of coming from a broad perspective. They're kind of more looking at it first organizationally. So they don't have any, you know, draft information or drafts on drainage yet. But to conclude on comp plan, the way we envisioned it, Chelsea and I in our conversation was, we're still, diving through all this information. When we have specific targeted areas that I think we need more information on, or that, you know, there might be, we need to develop a little bit farther, I think we envision bringing those to the commission with more targeted questions. So we're not just coming to you and saying, what would you like to tell us about the comp plan? Because it's so broad that, you know, that's a pretty generic question to ask. But I always, you know, I'd support you if you guys said, you know, I actually have something I don't think it's going to come up because it's not relative to the topics that you're gaining a lot of content on, which is hazard mitigation, climate change, and energy. Or you just don't think that it might come up through the other processes that, you know, I really want to make sure this information is also provided for consideration in the process. So that, at any point, you can send me that. But I'd say, you know, count on that we're going to have targeted questions that will help push us down the field for the issues that we know we're definitely drafting new policies on. Mm-hmm. So, and then on the, I have talked with Chelsea on the subdivision stuff, and we talked about when, you know, when they get to, you know, putting together drafts of that, that the Conservation Commission will have a role. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, you know, if you guys don't mind going to another meeting a week, David's suggestion is actually pretty valid that, you know, the planning board is the advisory group, and there's nothing like attending a meeting to actually say, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is my input. You're going to have the whole group right there responding to it, and, you know.
It was just an hour, and they were moving on to other subjects like post and beam and other things.
Yeah.
Did they have comments on the post and beam?
I didn't stick around.
For their work sessions, they wouldn't have opened a hearing on it. So
right.
I know that at the work sessions, they're looking at medical marijuana. We're drafting zoning recommendations for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the two items that I know that will be on every single planning board work session from now for probably until the summer will be comp plan and subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both big pieces, so it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's difficult to say, you know, come to each one, but
How often are the work sessions?
Once a month, the fourth Tuesday of the month.
Okay. Okay.
Do they have a consultant working on the subdivision regs?
No. Doing it in-house with legal counsel. Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, it's not a full rewrite, but I think that we've identified a number of issues that, you know, need to be...
It'll keep you busy.
Yeah, it'll keep, yeah. It'll keep folks busy. It's keeping Chelsea busy right now.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you, Doug.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
And thank you, Dory.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Good luck, Dory.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck.